Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Granville Waiters, Dalibor Bogovic, Joey Devine, McCoy McLemore, Marquise Teague, Sean Keane, A.W. Holt, the Rootbeard King, Etuan Moore, Patreons, Delamuca, thank you, Delamuca, Noel's Hot Dog, thank you, Noel, you're delicious, Sean O'Shea, thank you, Sean. Musical guest, Screeching Weasel. And now, the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast. And we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my man, my guy, my bruh, America's Uncle Dad, America's favorite feature from the Sacramento Punchline last week, America's favorite man who has a comedy album coming out in March, it's Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Joey. I got to visit your home city today.
Alameda, California, yeah. Huh? Wow.
I went to Crash Champions and
don't know what that is.
It's a repair shop. I went and got stuff out of my gasoline soaked car. I recovered a Wayne's World poster, a poster that I had featuring the 1991 Oakland A's team photo.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That was kind of weird. A Beers of the World poster that had never been unwrapped, a Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion poster, and two matching posters for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh, and a Dwight Clark and a Joe Montana. And they were all possibly tainted with gasoline, so they were thrown away in a 7-Eleven garbage can in beautiful Alameda, California.
It's really too bad you had to throw all of Joe Posnanski's posters away, but, you know...
You know, I was a research consultant on his Joe Paterno book, as we all know. He made a lot of good points. So that's my main take on that. Totally cool book to read.
We've got an episode of Eastern Conference Questions. We did Western Conference Questions last week. But before we get to Sean's questions for me about the Eastern Conference, We have some questions from readers, but before we get to that, some business off the top. RoundRockPod at twitter.com, RoundRockPod at gmail.com, patreon.com/RoundRockPod is where you can hear a mega episode of Tom Not Tom, of a mega episode of Do the Warriors Suck, or How Much Do the Warriors Suck. The first part being with Warriors at Detroit and me, with Tom Not Tom, then Warriors getting blown the fuck out by the Raptors with Sean Woodley, and then 10 minutes of me giving every player a zero alone, talking about Warriors at, can't even remember who they just lost to 47 points to last night.
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans, yeah, that's right. Also, Reacher Creatures.
We were trying to get Dr. John on, but I'm not sure he's still alive.
Also, Reacher Creatures, we are going to be continuing that podcast, we swear. Scheduling guests has been kind of hard. But episode 2 of Fists Like Thanksgiving Turkeys, Reacher Season 2, will be up within the next 5 days, I promise. Yes. But that's all the business, right, Sean?
I think so. We've got a lot of good stuff coming.
We've got some phone calls. Let's go to the phones.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for Movie Times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, which question do you want to hear first?
I think we should do Kyle's question first.
Kyle had a question about Ricky Rubio and the Charlie Brown tweet. Let's hear the Charlie Brown, specifically the Charlie Brown head hose tweet. All right.
Hey, Joey. Hey, Sean. It's Kyle. He, him. I just saw a Twitter post that just said, it said, Ricky Rubio was cold with about like 20 seconds of, yeah, pretty decent Ricky Rubio assist. To me, this might be the most Charlie Brown had hose as Twitter post I've ever seen. So I'll just call and say, what do you think is the most Charlie Brown had hose? Because you're way more in the basketball Twitter space than me. What do you think is the most Charlie Brown had hose Twitter post you've seen? Thank you. Bye.
I mean, that's pretty good because Ricky Rubio was a lot of things, a lot of wonderful things, but I would not say he was cold. He's like the embodiment of warmth, basically. Like all his highlights are like assisting people, making them smile. Like the only person Ricky Rubio has ever feuded with was Russell Westbrook, and that part was insane. Mm-hmm. It was because he got a triple double and Russell Westbrook got offended and then ruined his team in the next game because he was being a psycho. I think we might have mentioned that already. Sorry. but Charlie Brown has had hose.
I mean, I have one. You can just pull up one. You can just pull up one Twitter account and you find the NBA's Charlie Brown has hose tweet once a week. and that is the Twitter at ball don't stop. On yep. January 7th, he tweeted, look, all I did was pull it up and look for the first tweet with a highlight, and it was, Amani Bates is a walking bucket. This is what you call a relentless shot maker. And then it's him just hitting shots for the Canton Charge. And look, don't get me wrong. I mean, no shade on Amani Bates. He's a young player. He might figure it out. But I just don't think you can call a guy hitting a lot of shots in the G League a walking bucket until he's playing in the NBA.
He also recently has called Anthony Simons a killer.
Mm-hmm. Here's one, January 5th. Tremont Waters is a pure hooper. Cold, ice cold face emoji. The overseas route was great for him because he gets to rock out. Crazy handle and explosive shot maker can't guard this. And then it's, I think he's playing in China. It's Tremont Waters playing in China. So yeah, that's just, my take on the Charlie Brown Had Hoes Twitter account.
I would say there were a few about Bol Bol recently that I thought were pretty good. Let's see if there's any good ball don't stop. Oh, yeah. Eric Bledsoe hooping out in China. Muscle emoji. Still a lot of athleticism in the game left at age 32. Just because you can't show it in the NBA doesn't mean you stop. Respect.
Anyway, and I also feel like I'm picking on a ball don't stop a little bit here because I actually like Ball Don't Stop. I think it's a funny...
I like it, too.
I think it's a funny account, and I think it's cool to have a guy who's just, like, the least analytics guy possible.
Yeah.
He has the opposite of Dunked On Brain, which, you know, we need counter voices.
Also, I like that there is somebody who can be consistently counted on to post Kenneth Lofton Jr. G League highlights.
Exactly. It's great.
Like that's what you want. Like, who cares? Like, everyone just being like, oh, great efficiency.
Yeah, I only bring it up because he just he gets a little too excited about everything.
Tremont Waters?
Yeah.
Well, also, I just like that every fifth post is addressed to the casuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a casual, so I get it. I like being addressed, too.
Joey, did you know the casuals had no idea OJ Mayo was still hooping overseas?
I
can't even tell where he is. Italy? Is in Italy? There's a Turkish Airlines... I think he's in Italy.
You know, I didn't know that OJ Mayo was, so I'm glad that tweet was addressed to me.
Yeah, actually, I guess that's true.
It really, really helps me know the real hoopers are.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's playing in the Egyptian Super League, Joey.
That's
I'm sorry.
Insane.
That's
all right. John, we have another voicemail. Okay. We have a lot to do. We can't get into OJ Mayo's Egypt.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, our next voicemail comes from Mark Summers, the host of Double Dare. No, just kidding. It's a different Mark Summers that is also crazy. Here we go.
Hey, Joey and Sean and the robot. This is Mark Summers, Warriors minority investor. I just saw that Draymond's coming back. Pretty short suspension. You know, I'm not trying to brag, but... I got banned from the NBA for a whole year for pushing Kyle Lowry, huh? I mean, and it was the 2020-21 season, so hell of a season to get banned, you know. Anyway, Happy New Year.
All right, well, wow. Thank you, Mark Summers, minority owner of the Golden State Warriors.
He kind of got us there, I gotta say.
He really got well us. Played, he got Mark Adam Summers. Silver.
He got Kyle Lowry.
I heard, actually, that in that meeting with Adam Silver, Adam Silver talked him out of retiring as minority governor.
Oh, as a minority
governor.
Minority governor.
Minority of the
governor.
Golden
They're
State
not
Warriors.
Owners yeah. anymore. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty impressive. Congratulations, Mark. on your real statement. I'm glad you get to watch this Warriors team in person whenever you want.
Yeah, it's really something. All right. We also have a reader question, so you know what that means. A new drop.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, what's our question?
All right, our question, it's from John L. He, let me give you the context of this.
Sure.
Because you know that Zack Snyder made the movie Rebel Noon.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Rebel Noon, Joey?
Rebel Moon? Yeah, I watched it, dude.
Oh, okay.
It's also technically... All right, hold on. First off, you got to respect Zack Snyder, all right? It's called Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, okay?
Oh, yep, yep. Okay, so it's the beginning of perhaps a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Joey. There is a Rebel Moon Part 2.
Yeah, it's coming out.
The Scargiver. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Scargiver. That's maybe the worst subtitle in movie history, Joey.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad.
And the main character's name is... Oh, no, the bad guy is named Atticus Noble. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
These guys. Okay. so he has talked about... It got some critical... derision when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And Zack Snyder said that the R-rated extended cut is going to come out next year. And he said that his director's cut is, quote, almost a completely different movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so John L. asks, is Zack Snyder Danny Ainge or Daryl Morey?
Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I think this is an Ainge-ass
thing to
say.
Because I would also say, look, you might not like things that Zack Snyder has done, but at least he's accomplished certain things. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. But it feels like a very, like, you can tell that Zack Snyder is a comic book director because he retcons his own life. Mm-hmm. He retcons, like, facts that are a couple weeks old. And now, look, we've both seen... the Justice League movie. I did not finish it. I did not finish all those hours.
I actually liked it. I liked the Snyder Cut. I'm going to be honest.
But it's like, how long is it? 6 hours long?
It's really long.
I liked it better, but still not enough to keep going. Well, also because, like,
it's 4 hours, 2 minutes long, Sean.
Oh, it's only 4 hours long?
Yeah.
Okay, I quit kind of early, but it's in like three chapters. It's in four chapters or something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, mostly that was due to my loathing of Ezra Miller's Flash, the most annoying mm-hmm. cinematic character. I did not look like what they did with that role, Joey. Mm-hmm.
Also, Sean, I'm going to tell you, I think the Scargiver is slightly better than the Scorch Trials.
Ooh,
which is what the Maze Runner 2.
One?
Yeah, that's the Maze Runner 2.
I feel like I've seen that and I don't
Maze
know.
Runner
what the Scorch Trials.
The Scorch Trials. yeah, I think Maze Runner 2, the Scorch Trials, is worse than Rebel Moon Part 2, the Scargiver.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, did they inherit that from a book? Is the Maze Runner?
I don't know, but at least the Scargiver makes sense to hear as like a combination of words, right? It's like, oh, this is a guy who gives scars. What is a Scorch Trial?
Well, Joey, a Scorch Trial is obviously when Thomas and the Gladers, wait, what do they have to do? Oh, it's a desolate landscape. Filled with it's pretty bad. That's a pretty bad title.
also, Maze Runner 3, The Death Cure, not good either, but better than The Scargiver.
This movie, The Scorch Trials, has an insane cast of grown-ups in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I play it kind of a lot in Cine Nerdle 2 battle mode, which, again, I'm going to bring it up again. Guys... if you ever want to battle me in movie fight me in Cinenerdle 2 battle mode, you just let me know because I'll do it. But yeah, you got Barry Pepper, you got Lily Taylor, you got Aidan Gillen, you got Patricia Clarkson.
That's Lily Taylor and Patricia Clarkson in a sequel to a children's action movie is pretty amazing.
You also got that movie is Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo Esposito. you do Giancarlo Esposito. And of course, Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah, from American Assassin. Love to Dylan play O'Brien. American Assassin in Cinenerdle 2.
I think he had he's also the title character in Bumblebee.
He plays Bumblebee?
I mean, he can't be the title character, right?
Well, it says I just hit Bumblebee. Did not realize he somehow played Bumblebee. I've seen that movie, assumed he was voiced Bumblebee. We got him. Bumblebee, but Bumblebee also, doesn't have a voice. He plays sound effects.
I haven't seen Bumblebee, so you might know this one. He also
but you've
almost
seen the
died.
Other Transformers. You know Bumblebee uses his car radio to talk to Shia LaBeouf.
I mean, is this like a younger Bumblebee in that movie?
It is a younger Bumblebee. It's like the mid-90s or something.
I thought like Bill Hader like voiced a Transformer or something too.
All right, we got a story.
Anyway, he was almost killed, Joey. What's the third Maze Runner movie? Do you know?
The Death Cure.
Yeah, he almost died making that. His entire face was smashed.
Well, all right.
Okay. Zack Snyder's very Danny Angie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except, Danny Angie has to repress all his longings for, young women in bustiers into just eating Chipotle for every meal.
Yeah.
That's how he,
All right, Sean, let's get to the meat of this episode. Actually, we got news, right?
Yeah, we got a little bit of news. All right,
hold on. Gonna turn off the speech denoiser.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. What's our news?
Draymond Green is back, baby.
Oh, he played in a game and I missed it?
No, but he's back to podcasting.
Oh, his true love. Yeah, his true love.
He finally spoke out after being reinstated from his indefinite suspension. Did he talk right after he got reinstated, though, Joey?
What do you mean talk? I mean, he talked to into the volume, his podcast partners.
Yes, he finally spoke up because he got a 4-year contract for podcasting. Mm-hmm. That made him break his silence. So I had two things I wanted to bring up about this.
You can bring them up, but I just want you to know I'm going to be hiding in my man cave from my family.
I wanted to bring up is that Draymond claimed that after he hit Yusuf Nurkic in the face, he hid in his man cave and only told his wife that he was there. I guess his man cave probably has a toilet, I hope.
It's
I mean, that was not
for sure. Yeah.
But then he said he was FaceTiming his daughter. Mm-hmm. And thought she wouldn't recognize that he was in a room in her house. Mm-hmm. And so then she ran in and made him not be hiding in his man cave. That was a really weird story,
Joey. It's really weird.
Because it's both like a guy being depressed, a story about a daughter who loves her dad, and the plot of the Gary Busey film Hider in the House. So
here's my question for you, Sean. What do you think is in Draymond Green's man cave? What items?
I think he might have a life-size fat head of LeBron James. No, he's got... Do you think Draymond plays a lot of video games?
I think
he's got 4 or 5 TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Bill
Simmons
style. Is
there a bar in his man cave?
100%. Mm-hmm. Beers on tap. lot of LeBron's, a lot of bottles of Sincoro tequila, I think. Mm-hmm. Wait, is LeBron in on that? That's just, I don't know. I think there's like, obviously there's like a microwave, a sink, a big like beer fridge. He's got like a kegerator, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's probably built in. It's probably
leather,
built in.
Leather sectional sofas for
leather
sure.
Leather sectional sofa for sure. Uh-huh. But also like arranged in kind of a weird way. Like there's a little gap. Like you can tell where he like lays down to watch things. Yeah, I'm going to make a bold proclamation. Mm-hmm. Laserdisc player. Yeah, I think it was like always this dream as a kid growing up in Saginaw.
Is, so there is there a pool table in his man cave?
Yeah, 100%. There's there's not a foosball table. Though.
Golden tea machine?
Ooh, good question. I mean, is there like a... Yeah, I think golden... I think big buck hunter too. I think he's got both of those. Well, I think Golden Tee. I don't know if Draymond really golfs. I kind of feel like he wants more violent video games, like Mortal Kombat arcade machine, Street Fighter 2 machine. I kind of feel like Golden Tee doesn't have enough hitting for Draymond.
Do you think he has one of those punching bags that like tells you how hard you hit it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Is there a guitar he doesn't know how to play in his man cave?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think he has a guitar he doesn't know how to play, but I think he might have like a keyboard that ostensibly you could make beats with, but he's only used it once or twice.
Okay. Now let's talk about the art on the walls.
Yes. Okay.
What percentage of the art in Draymond Green's man cave are photos of Draymond Green? Or art or paintings of Draymond Green.
Yeah, or like game photos.
Yeah, yeah. Signed jerseys.
But of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that's Draymond merch, I think it's a minimum of 60%.
I was also going to say, I think 60%.
Like, I think there's probably some Steph stuff. There's probably some stuff like there's like a Coach Izzo.
There's Michigan thing. State stuff.
There's Michigan State stuff. And like, I could see there being like an Adrian Payne jersey on the wall.
Every jersey he's ever worn framed, right?
Like so every like different style. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, right. Not every style, but like he has a
Michigan
whatever
State,
his high school, Olympic, his Michigan yeah. State, yeah, Olympic, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Here's a question.
Sure. Yeah,
Do you think he previously had Kevin Durant stuff or like a Kevin Durant item on the wall that's no longer there?
You know what? I'm gonna say no. I think the KD stuff is still there.
Okay.
I think there's a pop art painting of him talking to KD. Remember that GIF?
Oh yeah. Like a fake Roy Lichtenstein.
Like hyping
kind of
him
thing.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I could see that. Do you think that speakers are like obnoxiously loud?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think he has like a popcorn machine?
Yes, absolutely.
But it's like for, he always says it's like for Steph coming over because Steph loves popcorn so much, but actually it's more for him. Yeah. Do you think he has any exercise equipment in there? Or is
in
it,
the man
or is
cave? No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Man caves are not for exercising.
Yeah. Well, he rides a bike in the sauna.
Man caves
anyway,
are from hiding from your family when you're hiding embarrassed your about your behavior at work.
Yeah, so I think he probably has a lot of supplies. I think it must
kind
of double as
thing.
A bunker. That's the weirdest thing in that podcast.
This is, you know, honestly, this is the most relevant use of a man cave ever.
It literally is.
This is what people who have man caves use them for, is hiding from their families when they're embarrassed of what they've done at work.
And so I'm going to assume it's like soundproof. Maybe it blocks like Wi-Fi signals unless you turn it on, you know, because it what he's describing is also kind of like a panic room. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anyone in the
question.
House to know I'm here.
Is the man cave part of the house? Like,
is it detached?
Or is it like, was it like a pool house that by the pool? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that's the only way you're hiding from your daughter for 2 days, right? Is if it's not a room in the house.
Like, I almost think, like, because it seemingly would have a shower, but I feel like your child would hear that.
Question.
It's a troubling man cave already.
Is there a mini recording studio attached to the man cave?
100%. Yeah, and it's, it looks like a phone booth.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, because it does not seem like he's in a very fancy place when he records his Draymond Green show.
That's in the man cave, right? That's got to be
in the man cave. Yeah. Got to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he can, that's how he communicates with the outside world.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't even the kind of recording studio I was thinking of, but you're right. I was thinking of like a rap soundboard, like a place you could make beats. But yes, that is absolutely in his man cave.
So I think that's how he communicates with his wife when he needs more snacks and he's hiding from the family. He records a short podcast for her to listen to on a private RSS feed.
All right. What's the second thing you wanted to mention about podcast?
So I was trying to figure out how much money they were he was losing, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he's fined a certain amount. And I don't know if this is a cumulative or a block thing, but he gets fined $154,000 per game if his suspension is fewer than 20 games, and $203,000 if the suspension is more than 20 games. Now he's getting paid.
Well, it was indefinite, so it had to be the over 20 games, right?
But I don't know if that is a rule for individual suspensions, because now he is at 17 suspension games, and I wonder, is this like technicals where? While the Warriors are paying a lot of luxury tax, is he at the suspension tax at this point? Because every $150,000 that the Warriors don't pay Draymond Green, it's worth like a quarter million. A quarter million in luxury tax. And they could also get under a threshold, so the multiplier is lower. So I just wonder if there's a certain point where Steve Kerr just starts trying to goad him into that so they can get under the luxury tax apron. Like, he's just telling him,
That would involve Steve Kerr in the front office not constantly having a proxy war, so I don't think that's the case.
Oh, that is a good point.
All right. That was the most interesting thing about the podcast to you, because for me,
I had one other thing. Okay, but yeah, go ahead.
I found it very interesting when he couldn't remember the names of more than two of his own teammates. He's like, every day I heard from one of my teammates, they were texting me. It's like Steph texted me, CP texted me, Long Beat, Braun.
Trying to remember Kevon Looney's name.
Yeah. Could not remember Jonathan Kuminga's name. Clay obviously did not text him, because they would have remembered Clay's name.
Can I ask you a question? How many players on the 15-man roster, which only has 14 men on it, 13 men on it?
13.
How many people 14. Have Draymond's phone number? I'm just going to ask you. Okay, Pods. Does Brandon Podziemski
think Pods has his number, yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga?
No.
I think he has the number, but Draymond has blocked it quietly, so Kuminga does not know that his texts are not being read. Moses Moody?
No.
Okay. Dario Saric?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Corey Joseph, does he have Draymond's
number?
No. Yeah, I don't think he ever would have had it. Kevon Looney?
Yes.
Yeah, Looney has his number.
I think Looney texted him. I just don't think he remembers. Yeah. He couldn't remember Looney's name.
Andrew Wiggins. Do he and Draymond ever?
I think he has the number, but I don't think they've ever they're connected on WhatsApp.
That's a good point, because Wiggins probably has a Canadian SIM card in his phone. So it's roaming. Okay, what about, can I even remember who else is on the team?
Trace Jackson Davis.
No, I don't think so either. That's pretty much it. I'm pretty sure.
Key Santos, no.
Key Santos, no.
Lester Quinones, no.
No.
Jerome Robinson, big no.
Yeah. He does still have Anthony Lamb's number, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. It goes with his Adrian Payne. It goes with his Adrian Payne jersey. All right.
The other thing was that my main takeaway was that Draymond Green was sick of playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't really think Adam Silver talked him out of retirement like he claimed, but I don't think Draymond wants to like retire and not get the money on the contract he signed. Mm-hmm. But I do think he might not want to play any basketball this season.
I think that the Golden State Warriors are all just sick of looking at the same people and the same coach and listening to each other talk. And I think if many of them went to different teams, they would be less sick of playing basketball. That would be my takeaway.
You see the news today, Joey?
No, what's the news?
The Warriors
today?
Announced who was on the trading block.
Oh, who is it? Andrew Wiggins?
Everybody but Steph. Everybody but Steph is on the trade block. So, anyway, it's a fun year to be a Warriors fan, and obviously, we've gone through such dark times recently.
I mean, my biggest takeaway from the Draymond thing podcast, actually, is everything was like a lie or bullshit, except for two things. He did feel bad that because his behavior has been so insane that ESPN spent a week talking about how Steph Curry was a bad leader. He very clearly, genuinely felt bad about that. And two, I think this was the last straw for his relationship with Kevin Durant. He's really mad at Kevin Durant.
He's so mad at Kevin Durant. And for Kevin Durant saying, I hope he gets the help.
It was a quote that I didn't even know KD gave. Like
I did, but it was like, it felt like very typical KD where like, he knows it's a funny thing to say. You know what I mean? Like, he's very media savvy.
You're forgetting the first part. It was Draymond wasn't like that like when the, I was there. I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Yeah. And Draymond spends about 10 minutes of this 50-minute podcast talking about how angry he is and how he had to consciously decide not to be mad. But you can tell he's so mad at Durant.
Yeah.
And you can also tell he's definitely was like, no, he was mostly mad at Durant because at first I thought he was talking about Rudy Gobert just roasting him over and over again, but no, he met Kevin Durant the whole time. I don't think Rudy Gobert's comments are like on his radar necessarily, unless it's right after a game.
And, well, also Rudy's just gotten the best of him too many times this.
This season. He just wrecked him. Like, and then he even criticized his chokehold. And I have a feeling Rudy Gobert is very into MMA. Not like doing it, but like following it, you know?
Well, yeah, he's a Joe Rogan fan.
Yeah.
It's the sport of dinks.
Well, my conspiracy theory for the Warriors to trick him into a suspension probably is not actually supported by facts, but I would love to see that happen down the stretch. Like just Steve Kerr being like, you know what, the ref talk to you like that, buddy? We need a spark, Draymond.
Anyway, if you want to hear us talk more about the Golden State Warriors, subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/roundrockpod, where I sporadically put out a podcast called Do the Warriors. How much do the Warriors suck?
How much do the Warriors suck?
Because some nights they suck really bad, Sean. Most nights, I would say. In fact, all right. Sean, we had a trade.
We did.
We've got to talk about which you know what that means. Time for my masterpiece.
Oh yes.
Trades. That's right. We're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs. You remember we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace. Let them know that you came from us. Limited time only. Terms apply.
Protected picks.
You could even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
And if you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean, what was our trade?
The New York Knicks traded Emmanuel Quickley and the Maple Mamba himself, RJ Barrett, to the Toronto Raptors for the oft-trade-rumored OG Anunoby. I got to say, Joey,
and they're like 6-0 since they've did it.
Yeah, they are killing teams and they are giving up like 100 points a game. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's lower than that. It's like 97 points a game in that stretch. They did just blow out the Blazers nobody scored like more than 105 points on them. Something like that.
Here's a question for you, Sean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is OG Anunoby the most Villanova player, or sorry, the other way around, the most Villanova non-Villanova player in the NBA?
I mean, yeah, he's like, doesn't he feel like super-powered Sadiq Bey, kind of?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, he's like the most...
Or like strong Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, and like a little bit taller than all those guys, too. Actually, we'll get to that later. I feel like this is a good trade for both teams. But it's So tell me, what do you think the weirdest thing about this trade is?
The fact that Masai Ujiri took this stuff instead of 4 first round picks.
Yeah, exactly. And like gold doubloons and Krugerrands and pick swaps, like everything that was supposed to be on the table for him. And then he gets like one really nice player and then one player who's fine and like kind of a, it's like, I feel like RJ Barrett is not the worst guy in the world to take a flyer on, you know?
I mean, he's destroyed the Warriors.
Well, he's also very Raptory. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like he's, I feel like maybe in New York, he wasn't thriving as much as he could have because he had two players in the starting lineup who like having the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like a catch and shoot guy come in who's a defensive whiz. So, and he gets to go back to Toronto. So here's my other question, Joey, about this. I mean, I don't really have any, it's weird because when a trade just seems like it's very reasonable and makes sense, it's like, well, what's my hot take? Good job, guys. Seems like everybody's a lot happier.
You know what I will say? It does give me sort of like hope that maybe we're back to an NBA where teams just trade things, make reasonable trades.
Right. That are like,
know what would make perfect sense right now? If the Golden State Warriors and Utah Jazz just traded Andrew Wiggins for John Collins.
Oh, right.
Like,
exactly.
That's a trade that would have happened in 1991 all the time. And you never
It would have been like, oh, yeah, we want a guy. We need a guy who's like, actually a power forward. Yeah, they're like, oh, we kind of need a small forward.
And both of these guys are kind of struggling. Yeah. And they make basically the same amount of money.
My favorite trade like that is the Pacers and Sonics traded Detlef Schrempf for Derek McKee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the perfect flip where the Sonics were like, we just have like mean physical guys, and the Pacers are like, we just have really soft offensive players. Yeah. And anyway,
Sean, that reminds me, this is a very embarrassing thing I've been doing.
Oh, okay.
But the Warriors are such a bummer this year.
They are.
That in NBA 2K, I decided, what would happen if I put Steph Curry on the Warriors in 1982 and just simmed the games? Like, how many threes? You know what I mean? Like, how many threes would he score?
Like, what are you doing? Like, is he unlocking Joe Barry Carroll's potential?
Well, they did win a championship with Joe Barry Carroll and Purvis Short.
Yeah, I mean, but, you got to play Short and Curry, the original Splash Brothers. Yeah.
But what I did end up doing was I traded, the reason I bring it up, is I traded Purvis Short on draft night for Derek McKee, for the rights to Derek McKee. And wow, he has become tiny, like, 80s Draymond.
Yeah. I love Derek McKee, and I hope that he has not done anything problematic since the last time I heard about him.
Yeah.
That left Shrimp has just remained really delightful, it seems like. okay. Joey, my other question about that is, now that the Toronto Raptors have traded for RJ Barrett, does that mean they're no longer going to trade Pascal Siakam for Andrew Wiggins?
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Now, they might
trade him for John Collins. Let's do it.
Now, yeah, that honestly... Yes, but I do think the Raptors still might take Chris Paul, Moses Moody, and a first round pick for him.
Yeah, but that's not as fun.
I know.
Have the two. You want Maple Jordan and Maple Mamba together. And I think that the way you sell the John Collins trade is you're like, he disrupted the dunk industry, and then the Warriors owners are like, we got to get this guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Jazz just need a real wing that's not like 6'2".
Yeah.
Anyway, back to that's for my other podcast that I produce. Yeah. All right. We gotta answer some questions here, but before we do one last thing. Sean, you're anti-draft night being 2 days. I'm pro it.
It's so boring already. The telecast is terrible.
here's the thing. I think this is only happening for one single reason. It's because every time they show that Taco Bell commercial that Jokic was drafted during, Adam Silver throws his shoe through his television.
Yeah. But like, they gotta give it to TNT if they're doing this. The second night has to be on TNT. It can't be those sad ass ESPN nerds. It can't be like 28 interviews with the players' families. It needs to just be guys who sort of don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, give ESPN the first day. If it's Kenny and Chuck and Shaq and all the all-stars, get Candace Parker in there so she can actually say something about basketball. But do it so Charles Barkley's tired.
I also think, though, that this gives us as fans who like slop, there's going to be way more trades and stuff, because the problem with the second round now is they only have like 90 seconds to make this the pick.
Yeah, but it's like effectively meaningless. Like,
sure,
it's, I mean, it's more slop, but like,
it's more guys calling each other and being like, hey, I'll trade you this guy for this guy. Like, they have a whole night to do it.
I just can't drink that much slop at the time. It's like,
I can.
There's plenty of slop already. Like, it's the sloppiest time of the year.
I know. We're getting more slop, though. It's going to be great.
Gross.
It's a trough full of slop.
I hate it. All right.
Questions, Sean. We got to go through these fast because I got to leave for work in half an hour.
All right. Here we go. Boston Celtics leading the conference 29-8. We asked a mean question about them. Here we go. Joey, the Celtics just won a franchise record 18 straight home games. Does that mean these Boston crowds are lifting them to a higher place more than any Boston crowd in history?
No, because look, there was a team, Sean, a Boston Celtics team, that was way more white, and they went 40-1 at home.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't know. Maybe this crowd has it in them.
Well, I mean, the Hauser Pritchard Cornett lineup is pretty hard to defend. But
look, there's
like, on a moral level, they're hard to defend.
But, you know, we're still a knife's edge away from one of those fans trying to spear one of those players with the American flag. Never forget.
That's a good point. Is it possible that the Celtics are doing well? Is it possible they don't have a players-only meeting this year?
No.
Yeah. I don't think
it is either. Porzingis is going to get hurt for, like, 2 weeks, and they're going to, like, be at each other's throats.
It'll be, like, on a cross-country flight. The whole thing will be a players' meeting. All right, Milwaukee Bucks, they're in second place. They are 25-12. Joey, can you believe that a backcourt defense built around Dame Lillard, Malik Beasley, and Cameron Payne has trouble stopping dribble penetration?
This is crazy. Awesome. This is still insane to me. Like, people are still talking about the Bucks like they're terrible all the time.
Well, it's because their defense is terrible.
I understand that, but they're still... Their record is still 25-12, and they're in second place in the harder conference. But yes, their defense is terrible. Of course it's terrible. Yes. Damian Lillard just dies on every screen.
Yeah.
But still, it feels like people talk about the Bucks the way they talk about the Lakers and Warriors.
Uh-huh.
And it's insane. We talked about it with Wilms earlier this year. But... No, yeah, I can't believe it, to answer your question. Yeah.
I mean, just that they can't. Actually, they're pretty good as long as they're not playing the Indiana Pacers, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Joey, one further question. What's a safe number of game balls to have on hand when the Bucks come to town?
Four.
Yeah, I think you need four. Because a rookie might score, Dame, Giannis, and then one for Chris Haynes.
Thanasis. Giannis might want to give Thanasis one.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay. All right, Joey, third place in the East. The Sixers are 23-13, game and a half behind the Bucks. This team is 23rd in three-point attempts in the NBA. Joey, who will Daryl Morey target at the trade deadline to shoot the Sixers out of a playoff game?
This is the easiest answer. It's going to be Luke Kennard.
Oh, that's perfect. And he'll go like 0-7 and they'll just keep going to him. And then he will hurt his knee because Joel Embiid fell on him or he'll fall on Joel Embiid.
In fact, it will be Luke Kennard and Royce O'Neal. That is who they're going to trade for. And they're going to shoot 0-17 from three in a playoff game.
And the only difference is who are they going to fall on? Who's going to fall on them? And it's going to be like, somebody is going to be exaggerating contact when it happens too. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Just when Joel Embiid ended Danny Green's career by flopping on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joey, Indiana Pacers, 22-15. They're in fourth place. Okay, Joey, supposedly Pascal Siakam will not re-sign unless it's a certain city or two. Is Indianapolis one of them? And if not, Joey, make the sales pitch for Indianapolis.
I actually think Indianapolis is one of them.
Okay.
Like, why wouldn't he want to play with Tyrese Halliburton? And he wouldn't have to guard centers ever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I also feel like he would like a coach that can actually play music. You know what I mean? Like, he's had to deal with Nick Nurse's guitar. Rick Carlisle's like a good piano player, and he picks his spots. Mm-hmm. You can't bring a piano on the team bus. That's very important for him to know.
Yeah.
Okay, Joey, we talked about them a little bit. The New York Knicks are in fifth place, also with a 22-15
record. Oh, wait, back to the Pacers real quick. Oh, yeah. I would like to apologize to Aaron Nesmith. You're good. I don't know why I hated you so much. I do. You were with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. No, I didn't know he was good either until this year. So, we'll talk about this later, but I'm going to mention Aaron Nesmith again later. That's a good teaser. Okay. Mm-hmm. New York Knicks, fifth place. Joey, we talked about him a little bit, but what do you think Evan Fournier does all day?
Dresses like Dirty Cookie Monster in Times Square.
Yeah, that's unbeatable. By the way, the LA Zoo has a even scarier one who is an Elmo.
Mm-hmm. And the Elmos are always the scariest.
The Elmos are the scariest. And like, the zoo's not near anything. And no one is asking that guy to be at the zoo.
No.
I'm really find that one troubling because it's like in a park. It's just Anyway,
Sean, back to real quick about Nick Nurse and his music.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you see that TikTok from R. Kells?
No, Joe, of course I didn't. It's a TikTok and it's the R. Kells.
Well, but it was going around. So I don't know what this is, but it's just R. Kells. It appears to be rehearsing. And then the text is R. Kells. No, sorry. It's Nick Nurse handshake emoji, Mount Joy handshake emoji, R. Kells.
By the way, Joey, every time you say
R. Kells.
Oh,
and it also says when Philly fans friends jam.
Jesus Christ. By the way, every time you say R. Kells, I'm like, I think R. Kelly.
What a terrible name
to have been stuck with. I'm like, did he have a burner phone in the prison? How is he? He knows Nick Nurse? He can't even read. All right.
They're going to drop a collab, a Philly collab, I guess.
Jesus Christ. I never want to hear about the R. Kells again, but I'm sure we'll talk about them a lot. Cleveland Cavaliers, 21-15. This team is scoring really well, especially with Darius Garland and Evan Mobley out and Jared Allen kicking ass. Joey, is there a lesson here for Cleveland, or should they stand pat until Donovan Mitchell demands a trade after losing in the first round this year?
I love Jared Allen and I love Evan Mobley, but I think the thing to learn here is you need to pick one of them.
Mm-hmm. I would pick Jared Allen, I think. I don't really love Evan Mobley. I did in theory, but then I watched him play a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, you just don't need two of those guys. Like, the Knicks have it right. God, it's weird to say that. Because they have, like, two weirdos. They have Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein. And you just play one.
It's Hartenstein.
Hartenstein. technically, he's the scientist. Okay.
I was making a young Frankenstein joke, Sean. All right, keep going.
You don't play two of those guys at the same time. Because Evan Mobley, everyone was like, yeah, he's probably going to learn how to shoot threes. And then he didn't. And he also doesn't shoot 15-footers. Mm-hmm. So. But I don't think they will do anything until the summer.
No, they're not going to. It's pointless for them to do anything right now, right? Like, they're good. They're fine. But.
Well, also, Evan Mobley's hurt. So, like. Yeah. You kind of have, I would not be surprised because Evan Mobley right now has one of those classic meniscus injuries where people are like 2 to 3 weeks and then it's like 10 months, James Wiseman's entire sophomore season. You know what I mean? Like,
God,
people are
everybody's record in the East is so insane.
Well, yes. Yeah, So we basically have how far behind? Okay. So I would say, the 4 through 8 essentially have the exact same record.
Yes.
And then
honestly, 3 through 8 kind of do. Because the Sixers are 23-13. I know it's a game and a half, but still.
I'm just saying it's the Celtics. There's a group with the Bucks and the Sixers. I don't know what SRS really means. Mm-hmm. Simple rating system, whatever. All these guys do have the same simple. The difference is that, like, the Knicks seem better. Anyway, whatever. The Heat, 21-16, seventh place. Joey, Miami has 8 different players who are averaging double-digit points, mm-hmm. while a ninth player, Kyle Lowry, is averaging 9.2. As a Warriors fan, how weird is that to watch?
Really weird. It's
what was your favorite sad stat that happened about a week ago?
That the Warriors went like 22 games before they had everyone in their starting five scored in double figures.
Yeah, double figures. Not even like 15 points. Just getting to 10 was out of their reach. Yeah. Why would Steph Curry be frustrated by that if literally they can't make layups? I wish I'd said something nice about the Heat here instead, but it's like the same Heat shit. And Eric Spoelstra.
Well, I mean, Jaime Hawke has fucking rules. Let's just say that. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He rules. Duncan Robinson still seems
pretty good.
He's
back, baby.
Well, now his contract's he's been back for like a while, too.
I know.
It's just sort of like, it might have just been that he had a 3-point shooting slump for like 6 weeks, which is not really that unusual, but I think, but you look at him and you're just ready to throw dirt on him. You know what I mean? You learn more about his name's Duncan and he rarely dunks. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I have one weird question for you,
sure.
Joey. Has there ever, in any sport, has there ever been a successful coach and player pairing where they essentially have the exact same name as Steve Kerr and Steph Curry?
No, of course not.
Yeah, it would be like if there was some guy named, like, Sporky Henderson on the Cincinnati Reds, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, it would be like if Phil Jackson coached in the ABA and his best player's name was Philly like, Jackson.
Or like Bill Johnson. Oh, yeah. It would be like Philly Jackson. Yeah,
that's why I picked the ABA.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. If there was a guy named like Craig Dropovich, who was a backup for the Spurs. All right. Anyway, it's not really related to the Eastern Conference, but and Eric Spoelstra got a giant contract extension. You know what I think the biggest impact of that is going to be, Joey?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr's definitely leaving the Warriors after this season. Joe,
well,
Lincoln,
I want to say real quick.
Yeah.
Heat fans, why were you harassing Eric Spoelstra's ex-wife when he signed that deal?
Wait, what?
Did you not see that?
I did not.
She had to, like, defend herself on Instagram because people kept, like, commenting, "You dropped that bag, girl."
Oh, that's what that... I just saw the dropping the bag, and I assumed it was still the Dennis Schroeder discourse.
No. It was but people being mean to Eric Spoelstra's ex-wife.
She might have some rights to that money. You know what I mean?
Like, fans, it's not going to hurt her alimony. Go back to being mean to the... I don't know.
Dame Lillard's agents,
yeah,
like
Lillard's
food
agent.
Truck vendors.
Yeah.
Oh no, I guess they hate. I guess they hate the front office staff.
Yeah.
Who do they? Just weird. Also, he was making a lot of money before that too.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was the fourth or third highest paid coach. I mean, guys are getting more money, but the top. Three of the top four are exactly the same as they've been for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do
all
think
right. Next
Orlando
one,
Magic. Orlando Magic. 21-16. I thought they had a better record than that, but they don't.
I mean, that's pretty good.
So no, it's
I would
good.
Kill to root for a team that was 21-16 right now.
So I wanted to go back to this. We talked to our friend Sean Woodley about the weird East standings, and
we did it via text.
Yeah, text.
Not
we,
on the show.
Sorry. We spoke to him IRL, mm-hmm. except on text. I don't. We had a text thread. We have a text thread.
Yeah,
the boys. It's called the boys. it's not called the boys. The lads. So there's like, again, there's five teams that have a record that's one game apart, and then there's another group of four teams, 9 through 12,
mm-hmm.
who basically have the same record.
Yeah.
The Bulls have a little bit better record than those guys, but and he was talking about how it is going to sucker some teams into making hilariously misguided win now mm-hmm. trades.
Yeah.
Joey, do you think the Orlando Magic are the most likely team in that group to do that?
No.
To get too aggressive?
No.
Who do you think is going to get too
aggressive?
The
Chicago Bulls are going to make a win now move to get to go through the play-in, like to secure the play-in.
I think they are going to
trade Zach LaVine for like players that win now. Like assets.
Oh yeah, but that's fine. I feel like that's like Zach LaVine's value. I have a question in the next group that's going to be I'll just ask that right now. Joey, mm-hmm. the Chicago Bulls leaders of the in-season play-in tournament, mm-hmm. I believe I'm gonna call the rest of the season. It's very catchy. They're 18-21, but they are 13-7 since Zach LaVine went out with an injury when they were 5-14. Mm-hmm. Joey, explain why he's the missing piece that is going to make the Lakers contenders again.
He's better than D'Angelo Russell, I guess.
I mean, arguably, but D'Angelo Russell has a better track record of success than Zach LaVine does. Like, getting D'Angelo Russell was actually a pretty big get for the Lakers last year. And he was on like a pretty good Timberwolves team as well. It just feels like maybe I was on the other side of this. Like, I thought LaVine was kind of underrated, but I actually think that them trading Zach LaVine is like a win later move as well, because he has like 3.5 years left and a really bad knee. And his game has a lot of jumping involved in it.
Yeah.
So,
look, I don't think Zach LaVine is good, but I also just somehow expect the Bulls to include a first round pick with him to try and get into the mix here in the play-in game. They're just dumb. You know what I mean? Like, look, the Magic, I get why you think it's the Magic, but the Magic's, the one thing the Magic need is so obvious that I just don't think, I really think getting any competent point guard, like any NBA starting level point guard, is like not, like even trading for like Malcolm Brogdon, like it just doesn't hurt. Like,
see, you're saying that just having Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz,
yeah, and starting Anthony Black, like they're just, it's such a, and the core is already there. Like, what are you building for the future? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, start making the playoffs, Magic.
All right, I can see that. Anthony Black is, wow, he really is starting almost every game, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and he's not good.
How many assists do you think he's averaging, Joey?
Like 4, 5?
Lower.
3?
Lower.
2?
Lower. 1.8 assists a game.
But he also doesn't score at all. He just doesn't touch the ball. Is that
5 points, 1.8 rebounds. He's actually shooting fine, which is weird. He turns the ball. You don't want really a 1.8 to 1.1 assist to turnover ratio for your point guard, but they like having Markelle Fultz and Cole Anthony come off the bench.
Yeah. And look,
maybe
again,
just stop doing that.
But like, if they traded for Anthony Simons, like, would that be a bad win-now move?
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't.
You know what I mean? Like, because they're going to trade for somebody who's like kind of on their timeline, right? It'll be somebody like that or a guy whose deal is short.
Yeah, I just would probably. Oh, I guess he's been hurt. They, you know what? They normally would be starting Markelle Fultz. He's just been hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe they won't. But I just, there's something about that Orlando energy, that DeVos like family. I don't know.
Okay. John Hammond, though, who, again, built the Bucks anyway.
Oh, he made a lot of one-mail moves there too.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Joey, we are at this group cools off. The Bulls should absolutely feel good about climbing into the 9 spot. They still have a pretty bad differential, but
Kobe White no longer sad.
Yep.
It really was looking there like that video of him being stoked for Cam Johnson getting drafted in the lottery at all was going to be embarrassing for years.
I will just say that sometimes you have to wait till a guy is the ripe age of 22 to make a complete decision on his basketball future. That's all I will say. Mm-hmm. Big men and point guards usually are not good right away. So, I don't want to hear any mess talked about Scoot Henderson right now. That's what I'm saying. Okay, the Brooklyn Nets, Joey. They're 16-21. Now, Joey, they're in a bit of a down spiral. In their last 14 games, they are 3-11. Two of those wins.
Amber is the color of their energy.
Yeah. Against the Detroit Pistons. So against real basketball teams, they are 1-11, including a loss to probably, actually, I guess they're 1-10 because one of their losses was to the Washington Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't have their first round pick this year, but should that really stop them from tearing down this team at the deadline before Mikal Bridges' value can drop further?
I don't know. It depends what tearing it down is. Like
trading Mikal Bridges. That's all I really mean. Or, and then like,
it also depends what you get.
Dinwiddie or whatever. But should, okay, my question is basically like, should Houston having their unprotected pick this summer really affect what they do?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because I feel like these teams have this mentality that they don't want to get embarrassed, but it doesn't matter. They don't have it anymore. It's
right.
It really, like, and I think it's because of how embarrassing that Boston trade is, that this is like the one team that doesn't want it to happen again. But I really think that this is like not a team that's going to they've been pretty bad basically since the Durant trade and then being like a fake playoff team.
But also this draft sucks. Like, who cares? Like, this is the year not to have it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, no one knows who the top three guys are in this draft still.
Well, and like, do you really want the eighth pick in this draft where you also have to give him a 4-year guaranteed contract?
Yeah.
It's like, that was the thing about James Wiseman. He got very expensive very quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always the best. I have a sub question, Joey. I know we don't usually like to get into politics on this podcast, but do you think Joe Biden will have to apologize to France for the NBA sending the Cleveland Cavaliers and Brooklyn Nets over there today?
Yeah, why there aren't any French players on those teams? What happened there?
It's not hard, guys. I think Hunter Biden deserves it should apologize to Adam Silver, or he should be held in contempt of the All-Star game.
But yeah, what I will say about the Nets is like I would sell off some of their guys, like Nick Claxton. If you have a good thing, you know, your Nick Claxtons, your Royce O'Neals, your Dorian Finney Smiths. Those are the guys who get you first round picks at the deadline. Like, do that. But there's no reason to trade Mikal Bridges now.
I kind of think there is, but he might just get, I don't know. I feel like he's getting a little bit exposed. But I guess if he gets traded to another team, he's going to be like a second or third option. So
yeah, I just don't think Mikal Bridges is the guy who gets you full value at the deadline. Like, he's like a draft guy. He's a guy you trade at the draft.
Wasn't he also like a 4 first round picks offer last year? Rumor? Like after the Durant trade? I think he was in that group. Anyway, I will say it would be difficult to break up the tremendous Miles Bridges, Cameron Johnson friendship. So
yeah,
let those guys cook a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Joey, next in that group, did it get sad after the Bulls. Atlanta Hawks are 15 and 21. They're kind of bad at everything except shooting threes and drawing foul shots. Mm-hmm. Joey, how soon will Quinn Snyder be able to celebrate Halloween with his daughter again?
I think they're going to give him one more year. They're going to blow this team up at the deadline and soft tank. I don't know. 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Well, he might be coaching the Golden State Warriors. Wouldn't it be funny if the Warriors and Hawks just traded coaches?
Yeah, because then Steve could still work at TNT because the studios are so close away from the arena. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Oh, also, one question about that coaching change. I was looking at his history. Should NBA teams maybe just keep Nate McMillan around? Every team that fires him just goes into the toilet. I mean, like, keep him if you can hire, like, Rick Carlisle as a replacement. But it's not pretty, the post-Nate McMillan years, historically, for these guys. Okay, let's these last ones. Toronto Raptors, who are in 12th place with a 15-23 record. They're a game out of 11th. They're in 12th. They added quickly and Barrett. Isn't this a team that should maybe just hold on to Pascal Siakam?
No, absolutely not.
He seems like he's a good fit with those guys.
Absolutely not. Like, this is insane. We've been talking to Sean Woodley about this in stated group chat, and he's just like, look, if they can't get what they want for him, they'll just extend him. And it's like, the GM literally every summer has a press conference where he shits on him. He's not coming back.
I don't think he talked to him for like, well, I don't know. What, like, what if they put that max on the table,
they're
Joey?
They're absolutely not going to do that. Like, do you really want to have Fred VanVleet that happen again? Where, like, you could have gotten literally anything for him, but then let him go? Like, but then he just left? Like, just take anything. Just take the best offer.
I will say, and I don't know if this is, I got to look at this real quickly. He's just such a good fit with Scotty Barnes, Joey.
No, he's not.
I have one more question. Were you happy that Darko sounded exactly like you imagined Darko would sound when he ranted about those refs? It was great. Yeah. It was great. I'm like, oh, hell yes. I thought I was being like a little xenophobic, assuming he had that voice. But Joey, he has that voice.
Well, Sean, is it even weirder to you, though, that he has that voice and he was the Memphis Grizzlies swag coach?
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious. It's so good. I will say the only reason to think, I think, that they might be keeping Pascal Siakam is that after two straight years, he is no longer leading the NBA in minutes like a beater car you're about to trade in. Which is how they treated Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, and Marc Gasol leading into this. Arguably also OG Anunoby just running up their minutes. He's now down to a high but low for him, only 34.8 minutes a game. So congratulations to Darko for recognizing that your players are not draft horses. All right, Joey, you know, there's some team at 13, but I can't actually read anything about them on our team. I don't acknowledge them as an NBA team as long as they have a certain starting lineup.
Well, there is actually something I want to say about this team. Did you see that video of LaMelo Ball leaving the arena?
What, is he driving really fast in his car?
It's a compilation of videos of him taking a right out of the players only parking lot and then just blowing through a red light over and over again.
Yeah. I've seen that before. It's not new this year.
I know it's not news. I'm just making sure everybody saw it. Like, you gotta stop, man.
Yeah.
You're gonna kill someone.
Well, I mean, that would make him like the fourth most worst player on this team.
Yeah.
They don't exist, Joey.
Yeah.
All right. Fair. Washington Wizards. Ooh. The best of the worst four. Mm-hmm. Right? Not the best record, but 6-31, Joey. Joey, how many games has Ted Leonsis watched this year?
Two.
And was he listening to rock music in his headphones when he did?
It's not rock music, Sean. It's called emotional hardcore.
You're right. You're right. I will write a cross on my wrist with a Sharpie in penance. I mean, I guess it's an X, but depends on how you look at it. Okay, and finally, we've talked about this team a bit recently. It's the Detroit Pistons. They finally broke their losing streak. They're still 3-35. I would like you to just predict the final win total for this team. And keep in mind that Cade Cunningham is going to be out for a few weeks.
I think they're going to get to 8.
It would still be the worst record in NBA history, but
nine. What's the worst? What's the worst? It's 8, right?
The worst is, well, it's the Hornet. The worst percentage is
that Bobcats team, but that was a lockout year, right?
Yes. So there were only 66 games. So they're going to have the lowest win total. Hold on just a second. By the way, congratulations. Oh yeah, who? The Minnesota Timberwolves is no longer the losingest franchise in professional sports.
Yeah, good for them, dude.
They deserve it. The Charlotte Bobcats were 7-59. That is a 106 winning percentage. I want the list, though.
But yeah, I only say they're going to get to 8 because I don't think they're going to be the losingest team ever.
Okay,
actually.
So nine is the 82 game season record.
Yeah,
for the
so I think
Sixers.
They'll get to 9 or 10.
Okay, they're winning 88% of their games right now.
I think once some trades happen, they'll get that like dead cat bounce sort of thing. You know what I mean?
I also think they'll like some teams will. I think they're going to get to play. I think maybe they play the Spurs like two more times. The thing is, there's enough bad teams that not only are there like 12 teams in the East who have inflated hopes, they haven't hit. It's too hard to lose less than 10 games if you're not trying, and they're trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to hit 10, Joey.
Yeah,
I think they're
so going to
clear that bar.
I just think, Cade again is better than any player on any of these super bad teams.
Right.
And eventually they're going to go like they're going to win. Like they're going to go like 5-7 or something in a streak.
Now they're
getting
outscored by 11.7 points per game, but that's not quite bad enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Those Bobcats were getting outscored by 14 points a game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they can. I think they get 10 wins, Joey.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And it kind of ends up positive actually,
mm-hmm.
like at the end because they hit it and it's a growing.
But
moment.
Yeah, also I think teams are just going to start resting against them, in the last month of the season. That's what happens.
Right.
Like, yeah.
they'll just get to play. They are the four worst teams, but there's some other pretty bad teams.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
All right, Sean. That's our episode. Did you write a song?
I did.
What's it called?
It's called Don't Get Jason Tatum's Tats, and it's a TLC parody.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It's about Jason Tatum's tattoos, Joey.
Perfect. Can't wait to hear it. Anything else you want to plug?
Well, if you're in Carmel, California on January 27th, you can see me with Kevin Nealon.
Well, you heard it here first, Clint Eastwood. Go see Sean and Kevin Nealon. That's awesome.
Mr. Subliminal.
I love Kevin Nealon, dude.
I think he's he's my third SNL cast member that I'll be working with. Mm-hmm. Tim Meadows is really a nice guy.
He'll be the best at stand-up because he's an actual stand-up.
No, Kevin will be the best at stand-up. John Lovitz was not the best at stand-up. Mm-hmm. He also talked a lot about Golden Globes host Joe Coy. So he was ahead of the curve in dominating the Joe Coy discourse. Weirdly, at his own show, talking about a different stand-up comic that he
All right. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where 17 minutes ago I tweeted demoralized. Don't want to know what that is. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Dude, blow up the Golden State Warriors. I can't take it anymore.
I'm going to walk
into the ocean.
Tattoos don't always look tough. Lord have mercy. Don't get Jason Tatum's tats. Please stick to the jokers and the mom's names you used to. I know that you're gonna get real inked up just like John Wall, but all of Tatum's tattoos are ass. Alex Hitchens is allergic to seafood, but he doesn't realize until he's on a date. You know that he can't woo Eva Mendes because he's a love doctor and he can't do it with a swollen face. He coaches Kevin James to bone a hot lady, though that dude is splitting his pants on the rig. That movie grossed just under $400 million, but why does Tatum have Hitch inked on his leg? It's confusing. Don't get Jason Tatum's tats. Please stick to the jokers and the mom's names you used to. I know that you're gonna get real inked up just like John Wall, but all of Tatum's tattoos are ass. Don't get Jason Tatum's tats. Please stick to barbed wire or a cross for a tattoo. I know that you have to get a full sleeve to play good ball, but give Tatum's designs a pass. Come on. I seen Incredibles yesterday. They got a kid named Dash. He's fast. Why is it growing up have him on his leg? Is it because he does it all? Don't ball, don't lose the ball, or blame refs for their calls? Of course, we all know John Q and all what he would do to save his kid who started till he's on the news. Like Tatum, John Q's style was untraditional. When Sidney Dean is on the scene, Rosie Perez gets mean. That's enough rapping.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.